Hello, friends. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. Today we are going to be studying our money article for this month. You know, money is one of those things that is often on people's minds. A lot of people say money makes the world go round. I don't know how you feel about that. I do know that money is something that is important to many people. It is something that we should be aware of and know how to manage. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that today, and we're going to talk about how to get financially fit. And we have some tips today from Robert Kiyosaki. Robert Kiyosaki is the author of Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and I'm sure many of you have heard of this book or have even read this book. But before we get into our article for today, let me introduce our panelists. To my left, we have Simon. How are you today, Simon?
I'm very well, Campbell. Thanks for having me today.
Well, thanks for being here, Simon. I know you are often learning about how to manage money, and you often read many books on finances. Is that true?
It's true. And this book that we're talking about today, we're not actually talking about the book, but the author from the book is one of the famous ones. And so it's good to have a chance to talk about some of the different tips that this author has offered people over the years.
Yeah, I always appreciate your interesting perspectives on investing in finances and managing your money. So it'll be to have you here today. And to my right, we have Lois. It's great to have you back, Lois.
Thanks, Campbell. I'm glad to be here, and I'm glad to be talking about finances, and I love our title, Getting Financially Fit.
Well, speaking of the title, can you explain a little bit more about what that means, being financially fit?
Well, we think of different areas of our lives that we want to have in order, or maybe use the word fit.
Mm-hmm.
One of them, of course, is our physical being, to
right.
be fit.
Yes.
And here I think, you know, some people, like myself, think of, my spiritual life being fit, but I also want my financial life to be fit.
That's right.
Because then I actually don't have to think about it as much.
That's right. So when we talk about being financially fit, we are talking about just that your finances are in order and you kind of are on top of your bills and your bank accounts and things like that. And to be financially fit is different for everyone. Some people want more money. Some people can live on not as much. So it depends on what your definition of financially fit is. But we do have some tips on how you can get on top of your finances. You can be more aware of your spending and where your money goes, and that you can take more control of your finances. So we have some great tips for you today. Let's get into our article and start discussing.
Get financially fit. Don't wait for others to take care of you. Take control of your finances with these money-saving habits from financial experts. Rich Dad, Poor Dad, author's Best Money Tips. Robert Kiyosaki is best known in personal finance largely due to the success of his book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, in which he wrote that workers won't get rich toiling away at conventional 9-to-5 jobs. His advice continues to resonate. Here are five of Kiyosaki's best money tips of all time. Financial education, the key to wealth. Getting smarter with your money is always a great way to prepare for the future, whatever it holds, good and bad, and hedge against all the unexpected speed bumps on the road to financial freedom, Kiyosaki said. Take control of your finances. No one cares as much about your financial security as you do. So Kiyosaki's advice is to take responsibility for your finances or take orders all your life. He added, "You're either a master of money or a slave to it."
some interesting tips here. Let's start off at the top of the page and let's talk a little bit about our deck. It says, don't wait for others to take care of you. Take control of your finances with these money-saving habits from financial experts. So today and tomorrow we have actually two articles about finances. What does this mean? Don't wait for others to take care of you.
Well, it's a very common idea in financial planning. I guess basically a lot of people are very passive. They don't do very much about their money. They don't really think about it unless they're spending it. Mm-hmm. And I think the idea here is that you don't want to wait for other people to sort of take control of your finances because they won't. So don't wait for other people to save money for you. Don't wait for other people to plan for your retirement or take care of those things for you because they won't.
That's exactly right. And from a very young age, I used to hear my parents say, in regards to their own parents, and I think the same way, don't count on an inheritance.
Uh-huh.
You do not know how long your parents are going to live.
Right.
You don't know what kind of health they're going to have.
Yes.
You don't know if they will actually possibly outlive their money.
Yes.
So I just want to tell our listeners, never, ever base your finances on an inheritance that you think you're going to get.
That's right. And along those lines, you shouldn't depend on the government or even your company, you know, because
yes.
you never know what's going to happen. So you really do need to get proactive, which just means you need to take action. Don't think that you can just put your money in a bank and that you're going to be okay, because you might not be.
And I think that fits in very well, actually, with the title where we were talking about getting fit. When you get your body fit, it means you do different exercises and you work different muscles. And in the same sort of way, when you become financially fit, what you're really doing is practicing different skills and learning about different things and getting stronger in areas where you have maybe been weak in the past.
That's right. You know, I know for me, money used to intimidate me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the idea of saving and investing and learning how to make money, it used to kind of overwhelm me, and as a result, I kind of avoided it. But as I grew older, I realized it was very important for me to start taking control of my finances. And so today we're talking about money savings habits, and actually we're actually talking about more than just money saving, right? We're talking about managing your money and knowing what to do with it. So our article for today is talking about Rich Dad Poor Dad author Robert Kiyosaki's best money tips. So who is Robert Kiyosaki and what is he best known for?
Oh, I hope I don't mess up his biography here, but I did read the back of the book. Basically, Robert Kiyosaki, he's actually an American. He was from Hawaii originally. And this whole idea of rich dad, poor dad is that as he was growing up, he had a dad who had a good professional white-collar job mm-hmm. and made pretty good money. And he had a friend who had a dad who was much more involved in entrepreneurship and starting businesses and things like that. And sort of at the beginning of his life, it looked like his own father, who was the white-collar professional, was in much better financial shape. But over time, the friend's father, the rich dad, by practicing these different financial skills, ended up becoming wealthier and wealthier, while his own dad sort of stayed in the same place and even fell apart a bit, I guess.
Yeah. What I got out of the book was more about the mindset of a wealthy or a financially fit person rather than an average person.
Right.
You know, I think the rich dad, poor dad idea is not so much about how much money they had mm-hmm. because, as Simon said, Robert Kiyosaki's dad actually was pretty okay financially.
Yeah, he and pretty was, wise with his money, actually.
Yeah, he was very frugal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, but it was about a mindset. It was, and I think reading the book really changed my mindset about making money and about business and the idea that, you know, people can make money and you don't have to have money mm-hmm. to start off with.
Right. It's the old line, it's not how much money you make, it's what you do with the money you make.
Right, exactly.
And a lot of people forget that, and they kind of get envious of people who have quite large salaries, but sometimes they can end up being the rich dad or the rich mom and not be making the kind of salary that maybe these white-collar people are.
Right.
So because they have great entrepreneurial skills.
That's right. And these skills are things that anyone can learn, you know, and it's not something that is so out of reach that only the select few can do.
Yeah, I think the other thing about the skills, now that we're kind of on that subject, is that the skills that Robert Kiyosaki offers aren't really like, you know, math-based skills on how to choose an investment or
right.
things like that. It's much more a matter of how you should be thinking about money mm-hmm. and choices you make with
exactly.
money.
Exactly. Yeah, and we're going to be talking about that today. Now, he says that workers won't get rich toiling away at conventional 9-to-5 jobs. First, let's talk about what is a conventional 9-to-5 job?
Well, when we say conventional, it's a job you show up for, mm-hmm. and you do.
Right.
You might do it 9-to-5 or 8-to-4 or
right.
10-to-6, whatever, mm-hmm. and you're an employee.
Right. Yeah, so the 9-to-5 refers to most of us work 8 hours a day,
mm-hmm.
right? And usually people start at 9 and go to 5. We go from 8 to 4:45. But usually there's about an 8-hour work day. But he says we won't get rich toiling away at these types of jobs. What do you think about that statement?
Well, I think actually it kind of goes a little deeper than just this idea of a conventional job, because a conventional job can be anything from a job as a lawyer to a job as like a clerk in a store.
Yes.
And so I think really what he's hinting at here is that you won't get rich by working for a salary.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter how big the salary is, you
right.
won't really become rich.
That's true. Because honestly, a lot of us, no matter how much money we make, we often spend about 70-80% of our
right.
income.
But
so,
I don't know. I kind of disagree with him a bit, because you can be in a conventional job, but you can do something with that money that is actually working for you
right.
and bringing in an income, and you're almost making with that what's coming in
mm-hmm.
what you're making at your conventional job.
Right, but then I think you're agreeing with him in the saying that you can't just work
yeah,
that conventional
if you,
job.
If you can, yeah, exactly. If you're just doing that and
yeah.
you're, you know, you're almost spending all your paycheck
right.
or, you know, I used to say you certainly live your means. Don't live over your means,
right.
but you probably live your means.
Yes.
It's important, too, to be clear about what they're talking about when they say rich, because,
mm-hmm.
you know, you meet a lot of people who are like, my doctor is rich,
right.
you know, or
yeah.
whatever. But normally, I think in personal finance, when you're talking about people being rich, you're talking about people who don't have to work to
yes.
sort of have money. They can
exactly.
just live off the money that magically appears in their account.
Yes, the residual income.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
yeah. There are plenty of people that are working hard, and there's nothing wrong with working hard. But, you know, you get to a certain age, you're 60 or 70, you want to be able to retire, mm-hmm. and you want to be able to have money coming in. Okay, so let's get into our first tip, and this kind of goes into what we were talking a little bit about before, financial education, right? We were saying that it is about your mindset and the way you look at money and what you do with your money. And Robert Kiyosaki says financial education is the key to wealth. So what does Robert actually say here?
Well, he says getting smarter with your money is always a great way to prepare for the future, whatever it holds, good and bad, and hedge against all the unexpected speed bumps on the road to financial freedom.
Mm, that's right. Now, we often hear this term, hedge against, when we're talking about finances. What does that mean, Simon?
That's right. Well, it can be kind of a confusing term, because for most people, when we hear the term hedge, we think about small plants, bushes that are sort of like a wall along the edge of your property.
Or right? you but think hedge funds like I did. That's
oh,
what
no.
I first thought of.
No. Okay. But really the idea of hedging, here we define it as to limit something severely. I tend to think of it more as balancing a risk.
Mm-hmm.
So if you take a risk in one area, a hedge would be sort of like insurance in case something bad happens.
Right. So he talks about unexpected speed bumps on the road to financial freedom. What might some of these unexpected speed bumps be?
Well, there's a lot nowadays, unfortunately, a lot more than when he originally wrote this book,
mm-hmm.
because we keep returning to recessions.
Yes.
So when you keep revisiting recessions, sometimes it's really hard to really plan for that because
right.
they're happening so often, or mm-hmm. maybe you get a setback in mm-hmm. your career,
right.
or you become unemployed for a significant amount of time.
Right. So
normally when I think about speed bumps, though, I think about like babies, marriages, injuries mm-hmm. and, you know, sickness or time off work.
Right, exactly. So things that you can't anticipate. Well, babies, you might be able to anticipate.
Sometimes.
But for just sudden large expenses, mm-hmm. basically. You get sick, you get into an accident, you have a large health bill, right? Or you lose your job, as Lois and Simon were saying. Or maybe something happens to your house, a fire,
right.
or something big that all of a sudden you need a large amount of money to sustain yourself. So these are things that you need to prepare for and hedge against. All right. And tip number two is to take control of your finances. And what does he say about that, Simon?
Well, he uses a very famous line here that actually basically does come from Robert Kiyosaki. He says, "No one cares as much about your financial security or as much about your money as you do."
And we kind of started off our program talking about that. Don't wait for others to take care of you. You need to take control of your finances. So what else does Kiyosaki say there?
Well, he continues on and basically says you need to take responsibility for your finances. And then he adds, or take orders all your life.
That's an interesting statement. Can you explain more of that?
Well, we all know what taking responsibility for something means, right? It means you accept that you are the one who has to do this thing.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't take responsibility, he says you'll take orders all your life. And what I think he's really referring to is this idea that you're going to have to work your whole life. You're going to have to follow rules other people are setting for you.
Right.
And you're not going to be as free as you would be if you were in control of your own finances.
And he has an interesting statement here. You're either a master of money or a slave to it. What do you think about that, Lewis?
Well, it either means you run it, you control it,
mm-hmm.
and you direct it.
Right.
Or, you know, if you're a slave to it, you're always thinking, do I have enough? Do I have to make more? Do
mm-hmm.
I have to, you know, I have to show up for this job. I
right.
have to be there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think it's just the idea of either you know what's coming or you're constantly being chased by the bills that are coming mm-hmm. at the end of the month, right? And all of a sudden you look at your credit card and you're like, oh my goodness, I spent this much money this month. I don't have the money to pay for this credit card bill, right? So you are either in control of your finances, you know what's coming, you know how much you have, or you're constantly surprised and other things are taking control of your finances and your life. So a choice is yours. Which one do you want? All right. So we have a few more tips here. Let's continue our article at the top of page 40. Please join us on line 7.
Pay yourself first. Budgeting isn't only about paying the bills. It's also about paying yourself first by socking away money routinely. My wife and I committed to making our investing an expense in our budget, Kiyosaki wrote. Each month, we paid ourselves, through our expense column, the money we needed to save up for and purchase assets that would provide us cash flow. This was an example of an expense that made us rich. Plan possible contingencies. In the event of a job loss or other unexpected situation, it's important to have a contingency plan and cash reserves to cover expenses, he said. Setbacks often leave us reeling since they're often unexpected and can involve high emotion. And when emotion goes up, intelligence goes down, Kiyosaki said. I try to step back, calm my emotions, and ask myself, what's the lesson here? How can I be better prepared in the future? Spend on assets, not liabilities. To get ahead financially, Kiyosaki recommended that you spend money on assets that generate wealth, such as real estate. You can't grow your wealth if you're spending it on cars, clothes, and vacations.
So our first tip in this section is pay yourself first. What does that mean exactly, Lois?
Well, it means that all your money from your budget isn't used up by all the things you have to run your household, to maybe provide for yourself, your spouse, your children. There is some left there. It should be, I've always done it as a percentage. And that money gets invested.
Really, very simply, though, it means make investing a priority. Mm-hmm. So the idea is a lot of people get paid once a month, and mm-hmm. once you've been paid, you pay your bills, right?
Right.
Go to 7-Eleven or whatever and pay for everything, I guess.
Right, yeah.
But the idea here is that before you do all of your monthly expenses, you set aside the money you've budgeted for investing first, and then you force yourself to live on what's left over rather mm-hmm. than sort of trying to pay all of the bills and all of the things you want and credit card and all of these things.
Right. Yeah. So the idea is a lot of people kind of say, well, if I have any extra money, then I'll start to invest. Mm-hmm. But this is putting it first and saying, okay, no, I'm not going to say if I have extra, I'm just going to actually on purpose set aside a bit of money for the purpose of investing. And he uses the term socking away. This is an interesting term. Can you explain more of that?
Right. Socking away, it sounds like we're putting our socks away, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And it means that to save money by putting it in a bank or by investing it
mm-hmm.
and really, truly saving for the future, yeah. Long-term savings.
The term itself, though, is actually kind of a joke because we talk about older people or people who don't know so much necessarily about personal finance actually keeping their money in a sock, in mm-hmm. their sock drawer.
That's
as
right.
like a safe place.
Yeah.
So when you sock it away, it's like you're putting extra money in your sock drawer.
That's right. So it's kind of an interesting term. We do use it a lot in English, so you can study that, memorize it, and use it in your daily conversation. Now, Robert Kiyosaki and his wife committed to making investing an expense in their budget, and each month they paid themselves, and they saved up for and purchased assets that would provide cash flow. Now, this is an important word when we're talking about being financially fit. Assets. Can one of you explain more about what assets are?
An asset is basically something that is worth money.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's something you own that's worth money, and generally it is not costing you anything, and mm-hmm. in the best possible situation, it's actually paying you money, giving
that's
you
right.
money.
So an asset is something that's going to make you money, and later we're going to be talking about the opposite, a liability, and that's something that's taking money out of
right.
your account.
We often think asset, it's increasing in value.
Yes.
So you might be living in your house and enjoying it,
mm-hmm.
but it's depending on where you are in the world, you hope that it's increasing in value.
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of examples of different assets, you might think of a house you own as an asset. You might think of various investments you've made as assets.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's basically what we're talking
and
about.
And most women think of true jewelry as assets.
Yes.
Just so you know.
Well, jewelry is an asset because it does increase in value in some cases.
In some cases,
in some
that's
cases,
right.
Yeah. But what's interesting, I remember reading in Rich Dad, Poor Dad that he actually doesn't consider the house you live in as
that's
an
right.
asset, right? Because it's actually taking money out of it's not putting more money into your pocket right now,
right.
unless you sell
yeah,
it.
Exactly.
Right. Okay. So let's look at tip number two of this section, plan possible contingencies. Now, what are contingencies?
Well, contingencies are things that could happen that force you to change your plan or come up with sort of an alternative plan, a plan B, if you will.
Yes, so we often talk about a contingency plan, and these are plans, these are things that you prepare in case something happens, in case you need to change. All right, so in the event of a job loss or unexpected situation, we talked a little bit about that earlier when we talked about speed bumps, mm-hmm. it's important to have a contingency plan and cash reserves to cover mm-hmm. expenses.
Right, when I got married, which is a long time ago now, 32 years ago,
yeah.
They used to say have 6 months.
Mm.
Now I would tell anyone, and we hear this from our financial advisor back in Canada, have a full year's salary.
Mm-hmm.
So that, a lot of people don't do that, though. They can't do it.
They can't.
They can't. That's a lot of money.
Right.
And it's, usually I say, well, if you can only do 6 months, just be in the practice of living very frugally.
Right. That's true. Yeah, it says setbacks often leave us reeling since they're often unexpected and can involve high emotion. What does he say about emotion here, Simon?
Well, basically he tells us that when emotion goes up, so when you become more emotional, intelligence goes down, so you stop thinking.
Basically, it's so true.
Yeah, when you're emotional, you're not thinking clearly.
Right, you're just kind of just running around with your head cut off, right? It's just kind of trying to make things happen, but you need to calm down and step back. All right, and our last tip for today is spend on assets, not liabilities, and we've talked a little bit about this earlier. Can we elaborate on this?
Yeah, and this is sort of a little bit of a difference between Kiyosaki and other people. Often, we talked a little earlier about how assets were just things that are worth money, that hopefully give you money, but he specifically says they have to be making income for you, right? And so that's why the house you live in, he wouldn't consider it an asset. Other people probably would. But here he's basically saying you have to spend your money on things that are going to make money for you.
Right.
And if you're spending money on things that will cost you money or don't make money, you're basically wasting your money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for a short time. See, I can disagree with him on this house thing because I know someone who is a firefighter in Vancouver. He owned a house. For a short time, we rented the best part of the house,
mm-hmm.
and he lived in the suite in the basement.
Right.
He was having his house, he was living in his house,
right.
but he was more than covering his mortgage and property taxes.
But then again, so then you are kind of illustrating what he's saying, because even though he's living there, he's using it to make money, right? So your rent is actually
giving him money there. It's not just an asset that he just lives in and he's hoping it will gain money
right.
in the end.
Yeah.
He's actually making some money to live on and pay his expenses.
Right. So that's exactly what he's saying here, is that it's not just something that you're living in. You're actually using it to make money. All right, so we have a lot of good tips here. We'd love to hear what you thought about what we talked about today. Please do write to us at letters@studioclassroom.com, and we'll see you tomorrow for a few more tips on how to get financially fit. Take care, everyone.